Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. It's good to have you join us. In the midst of the busyness that is the world we live in, it's easy to feel small, insignificant. What possible impact could one person have in a world so much in need? Tonight, Dr. Corbett continues the series of discussions he's titled Influencing Your World. As an individual, it may not be possible to influence the whole world, but we can have an impact on our world.
Well, let's pray. Again, we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. This is not about man's ideas. This is not about the word of man. This is about the word of God. Father, we thank you that your word is life. We thank you, Lord, that your word is able to give life. Lord Jesus, you said that your words are spirit and they are life. And we pray that right now as we hear your word, that, Lord, it would impart life into us in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we want to continue looking at influencing your world. Influencing your world. Let's turn to John 17, which is truly the Lord's Prayer. It was the prayer that Jesus prayed. It was the prayer that John, the one who leant across the bosom of Christ on the night he was betrayed, and he heard the heartbeat of Christ. He had that intimacy with Christ like no other disciple had. And while the three, Peter, James, and John, were taken by Christ, we know that it says that Jesus came to them and found them asleep, but one of them couldn't have been asleep all the time because he recorded this prayer. This disciple, John, recorded this prayer in John 17, and it's just a powerful, powerful insight. And I know with many of the prayers that Jesus prayed, just as he said at the tomb of Lazarus, you remember Jesus said, "I don't just pray this for you, Father, I pray this because of those who are hearing me right now." And so we understand that Jesus prayed truth. Jesus prayed truth not just for the sake of his Father. Jesus prayed truth for those that were listening to him. You know that when we pray to God in a group setting, we are also encouraging one another with truth. Many people have got all, upset for really the wrong reasons when people begin to pray the word of God. God, your word says that, and they repeat the passage of God's word, the promise of God's word. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus did that. The Old Testament heroes did that. The New Testament apostles and prophets did that as well. There's nothing wrong with praying the word of God. And here we find Jesus declaring the word of God in a prayer that was recorded. And this is a powerful prayer because I want you to have a look at these two verses in verse 20 and 21. We see that Jesus expected that you and I would be a person of influence. He expects that we, the church, will be a people of influence. He expects that we will influence. You see, this is not an optional extra for your Christianity. This is not a case of, well, I just only want to go so far. I don't want to be fanatical. I don't want to get so far into Christianity that it's going to, you know, mean that I have to be radical or anything like that. But listen, you can't say that. The moment you give your life to Christ, you surrender all rights. You become his. He becomes your Lord. Amen. He becomes absolute Lord of your life. You now live for him. And if you don't have that firmly grounded in the conviction of your spirit, you haven't seen the cross. You don't understand the price that was paid for you. I love that story out of Pilgrim's Progress where John Bunyan, while writing from memory the scriptures, all the scriptures that he could remember, and to help him remember it, he pieced together the story, Pilgrim's Progress, where Pilgrim approaches the cross having been pointed there by evangelist, and he sees Christ on the cross. And for the first time, this person who has considered themselves to be good enough has now recognized that they are not good enough. And not only that, in Pilgrim's Progress, the story goes that this person became deeply aware of a burden on their back that was intolerable. And as they came to the cross, for the first time, this person saw Jesus on the cross and the price that was being paid. And as the person looked to Jesus and his eyes fixed, and the love of God was transmitted between them, and as they recognized what was happening, from the belly of this pilgrim arose this cry of realization. For me, he dies. For me, he dies. And Pilgrim, for the first time, recognized this was no mere crucified man. This was a crucified Savior. And a Savior who died to save him from the burden of sin that had become intolerable. You see, God does not want to make bad people good. God wants to make dead people live. And when you recognize that when you became a Christian, you started to live for the first time. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says that we were dead in sin, but now we are made alive in Christ. That's the first resurrection. Alive in Christ. You can't say, I don't want to be a person of influence. That's not even an option. And listen to what Jesus prayed for you. And make no mistake about it, he did, because he says in this prayer, I don't just pray for these. I pray for all those who will believe. And that's you and I. We are called to be an influence. In John 17, verse 20 and 21, I'm reading from the excellent translation, the English Standard Version, just recently released. It says this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I want you to notice that word, their word, because immediately that implies that we are going to have influence. Do you realize that there are people in our community who are yet to give their lives to Christ, but will? Do you realize in Acts, is it Acts 17, Paul was at a low point in his life. He was so despondent. He was on the verge of just throwing it all in. He was so discouraged. This is the great apostle Paul. Now, how do we know that? Because it says, in the night, the Lord appeared to him and said, Paul, don't be discouraged. Now, if the Lord's saying that to Paul, how is he feeling? Probably pretty discouraged. And what was the Lord's encouragement to Paul? Because Paul had had knockback. He had people reject him and the gospel. He had people who were opposed to him, people who were even being violent toward him and fellow Christians. The Lord said this, don't be discouraged. This is Acts 17 or 18, somewhere in there. You'll find it if you've got a red letter edition Bible. You'll see the words of the Lord. And he says, for I have many people in this city who are yet to believe. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know that we don't do the converting? Isn't that good to know that we, it's not our word, it's his word. But when it's his word in us, it becomes our word to them. And Jesus says there are many people who are yet to believe because of our word to them. That's what it says in verse 20. In verse 21, it says this. This is his prayer for us, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Now watch this. The first point of influence is the words that we share with people. Now look at how else Christ expects us to influence the world. Because there's a so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, it's not just what we say, it's the way we live. It's not just the way we live, but it's the way we live with each other. It's the way we interact. It's the way we, the forgiven, know how to forgive. In fact, I would suggest that true unity is only possible when the forgiven have a high level, here's an Andrew word, forgivabilityness. True unity is only possible. Look at it in your own marriage, in your own family. Man, if you were out of that relationship the moment you were offended or hurt or upset by someone, our divorce courts would be overflowing. But thank God that the forgiven have a high degree and an increasing degree of forgivability-ness. We are the forgiven. Remember the parable that Jesus told of the man who owed several billion dollars to the king? And the king forgave him his debt. And then that man immediately went out to find somebody who owed him $5, had him beaten and thrown in prison. When the king found out about it, he said, "Listen, you were forgiven. I expect you to forgive." You know, it's the same for us. If there's to be unity in a marriage, unity in a family, there has to be forgiveness. Forgiveness. Some people think, well, I'll forgive when they apologize. Oh, thank God Jesus didn't wait for me to apologize before he died on the cross. Oh, thank God. Thank God that he takes initiative to forgive. Thank God that he died on the cross and he uttered these words, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And if you think that was his immediate hearers, then you don't get the cross. Do you realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the forgiveness of your sin and mine? Isn't that true? He died to forgive. And the very fact that it happened over 2,000 years ago means that he died before we apologized. Our forgiveness is not conditional upon an apology, because God's isn't. This is awesome stuff. You know, forgiveness is only really forgiveness, and therefore achieving the prayer of Christ here, that they may be one in love as we are one and in love. It's only possible where there's forgiveness and then love. It's only possible. The Bible says, how can two people walk together unless they agree? Well, you can agree, and there's got to be an agreement between people that says, come on, you'll make mistakes, I'll make mistakes, but we're going to walk together in this. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And you know, love, the kind of love that produces the kind of unity that Christ is talking about here in the church, that kind of love is love in action. It's love in action. And you know, forgiveness, if it's not administered, it leads to bitterness. And in the book of Hebrews, it says, be careful that no root of bitterness gets in. Oh, it's deadly stuff. Absolutely deadly stuff. And you know, it'd be easy to think, well, I have forgiven them. I don't hate them, but I don't love them. I just forgive them. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, if that's how you're to treat enemies, how are you to treat those who are the household of faith? How are you to treat your brother and sister? Superabundant love. Whoa. Love your enemies. Wow. Can you see how this is impossible to live in your own strength? Can you see why you need Jesus to be a Christian? You need him in your life. You can't do this by yourself. Jesus is praying that you'll be a person of influence because of the words you speak and the way you live your life. Last night at the Gideon's dinner, I was so blessed to hear, was it Nicholas, Nick, who gave that testimony, the dentist fella? Nathan. He shared this testimony. It was just powerful. He said the thing that turned him to Jesus, the thing that got him looking in his Gideon's Bible, was because the man who ran the boarding house, the youth hostel where he was staying, was a former policeman. This policeman was on duty with his partner 20 years ago and went to a robbery where a father and his two sons were robbing a shop or a bank or whatever it was. It was an armed robbery. In the process of these two police coming to apprehend and prevent this crime, the partner of the man was shot and killed. The policeman himself, who went on to run the hostel 20 years later, was also received, I think he said, 4 bullets. The result was that eventually the man and his two sons were apprehended and went to jail. And as this young fella Nathan was telling the story last night. He says he was in the hostel. He was on the phone, and at the door was a knock, and he opened the door, and there stood a man, an older man, with two sons. And he said, "Is such and such here?" He said, "Yes, he is." And he went and got him, and he came. And this man, the former policeman who served another 10 or so years after that incident and then retired, met this man in the hallway and hugged him and embraced him and called him brother. And the fellow on the phone, this young guy telling the story, says later it found out that this policeman was a Christian, now running a Christian youth hostel. And as a policeman, although these people had shot his partner and wounded him severely, he visited them in prison, gave them, I think, a Gideon's Bible and led them to Christ and showed forgiveness. And this man had just been released from prison and was coming to meet with his friend. Isn't that awesome? Do you realise the power we have when we forgive? I think one of the greatest stories ever told next to the gospel is the story Les Miserables. And if there is one word that sums up that story, it is the word forgiveness. If you've never read the book or seen the story, I encourage you to do so. It is laced with the gospel. In fact, you can buy it in a Christian bookstore, Les Miserables. We are called not just to not hate, we're called to love. Oh, church, that is awesome. I want you to turn to 1 John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. You see, someone could say, "But I don't hate them. I just don't love them." Well, you know, biblically speaking, hate is the absence of love. Hate is the absence of love. Now, get prepared to let the Word of God do some surgery. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God cuts sharper than a two-edged sword. One sword to cut open, one part of the sword, the other part of the sword, to act like a surgeon's knife, to remove that which shouldn't be there. It says in 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates a brother or another Christian is really a... I must have a typo here. I must have a grammatical error in my Bible, because it says in my translation, murderer. Wow. That's strong language, isn't it? Anyone who shows an absence of love for another Christian brother is really a murderer at heart. Wow. Look at the end of this. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Woe Nelly. Can you see the prayer of Jesus begins to become very important when he's talking about that they may be one, that they may love each other as I love you and you love me, that the kind of love, agapeo love, that Christ is talking about is the most awesome challenge you could ever hope to find in all of your life. And yet when you learn the secret of forgiving and loving, it is a powerful influence, a powerful influence. And Jesus prayed that the world would know there is a God, just as that young man Nathan knew that there was a God when he saw this man forgive the murderer of his partner and the wounder of his own personal body. As he was able to forgive, that forgiveness was a message to this Nathan, who began to search the scriptures himself to find out what on earth took place in the hostel manager to cause that kind of change to take place in his life. And as he began to read again a Gideon's Bible, he began to read through the Gospel of Matthew, and he ended up encountering Jesus and he gave his life to Christ. Isn't that awesome? The forgiven are required to forgive. And when we forgive, we experience a level of unity that cannot be man-made. We experience a depth of witness that cannot be manufactured in a sporting club, a recreational club, or any other kind of society, because it's deeply and intimately spiritual. And that's the kind of influence Christ wants us to have on the world. I want to briefly remind you of the kind of words that Christ uses to describe our influence. In Matthew 5:13, he says that we are to be salt. We are to be salt to flavour society with godliness and salvation, to preserve righteousness in society. So when our government wants to promote that which the Bible calls immoral, we have a duty-bound obligation to be salt. We have an obligation to say, look, enough is enough. God has ordained man and woman to form the basis of a family. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, in the very beginning. We are called to be light. Matthew 5:14 and 16. You remember Jesus describing the influence that he wants us as the church to have. He said, don't be a light hidden under a table, but be a light that's set on a table. Not just on top of a table, but a table on top of a hill that shines out. Wow. Is it any wonder we have a go with television ads? Is it any wonder we want to shout this message of God's love and forgiveness and salvation from the rooftops? And today, that means television and radio and the internet, all the things that we are, for God's glory, pursuing. Jesus also described our influence as being like leaven, a little bit of yeast put into the lump of dough. That infiltrates the whole lot. Wouldn't it be fantastic if from out of the Christian community we began to become leaven in all areas of decision making in society to honour God? To honour God. This is not about power. This is not about political control. I'm not interested in any of that carnal stuff, but I am interested in influencing to honour God. Amen? That's what we want to do. Influence to honour God. We're called to be leaven. Matthew 13. Verse 33. Now, to be the kind of influence that Christ wants us to be, an influence where it says it will be our words that lead people to him, it'll be the way we act as one in unity and love. A forgiven people who know how to forgive. Man, you see the response of somebody who does something nasty to you through the week when you forgive them. Man, they don't even have a slot for that. They don't know how to handle that. But that's the kind of influence we're called to have, isn't it? Amen? Jesus has given us his authority. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go. I've authorized you to go. He's given us his word. It says in John 17, verse 14, again the prayer of Christ, that he's given his word, and his word is truth. And it's his word that we have, and it's his word that we share, and it's his word that God is love. God is unconditional love. God is a God who will forgive no matter what you've done. God is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, 490 chances if you want them. God is a redemptive God. That's his word. His word that Jesus has come and died on the cross in your place and mine to take the penalty of our sin. That's his word. He's given us his word. He's given us his Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you without a helper or a comforter. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he'll be with you. Oh, thank God, church, that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. He's the counselor, the comforter, the teacher. And finally, John 17, verse 23, he's given us each other, his body. He's given us each other. I and them and you and me, all being perfected into one, then the world will know that you sent me, will understand that you love them as much as you love me. And when you know the love of God, you can't but help love somebody else. All relationships begin with God. All relationships begin with God. You might have a relationship that's out of kilter in your own life. Let me tell you, unless you've got the first relationship right, you'll never get any other relationship right. You need to have your relationship with God in place. We're called to be an influence. We may never influence the whole world, but we can influence our world by the way we speak and by the way we live. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a people of influence. We want to be a people who recognize that you have given us your word to share with others. Lord, I pray that you place within us and upon us an increasing burden to see people who don't know Christ come to know Christ. And now, Lord, I pray that if there be those within the sound of my voice that have never surrendered to the love of God, who have never given themselves over to your lordship, I pray that they would do so. I pray that through what has been shared, they would recognize that they are a sinner in need of forgiveness, and that Jesus has died on the cross to take away our sin and to offer us forgiveness of sin right now. And Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice might have a heart cry that says, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin and come and live within my heart, I pray. Amen.
We hope tonight's discussion has encouraged you. Next Thursday night at 9, Dr. Corbett continues with another discussion on influencing your world. Join us then. This program is repeated here on Way FM on Sunday night at 9, or if you would like to revisit the information in tonight's program for yourself, you can order an audio CD copy from Lagana Media for $5.50, including postage and handling. Contact Lagana Media at P.O. Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277, or at www.lagana.org. Please quote the program title, Influencing Your World, Session 2. Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett is a production of Lagana Media. We look forward to joining you again next week for Finding Truth Matters.